Hi, welcome to Stop, Start, Continue, a reconciliation of the pharmacy industry sponsored by The Medical Memory. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to providing you with quick thoughts from leaders across pharmacy to improve outcomes for patients. Make sure you follow us on LinkedIn and listen to Stop, Start, Continue wherever you get your podcast right now. In each episode, we're going to talk with top pharmacy thinkers and delve into what they feel needs to stop, what needs to start happening, and what needs to continue as to be best practices from their point of view. You'll hear from industry leaders from all practice sites, from retail to health systems, FQHCs to specialty pharmacy, noted regulatory experts, and patient safety advocates. We'll get their thoughts on what is driving pharmacy forward and what is holding us back from even greater heights. My name is John McMillan. For the past 20 years, I've been supporting pharmacy practice for inpatient, remote, retail, specialty pharmacies across different practice settings, health systems, FQHCs, retail independents, and specialty pharmacies. My co-host is Julie from The Medical Memory. It's a video education program that elevates the patient experience, increases medication adherence, and drives better patient outcomes.
Yep. Hi, we're lucky enough to be joined today with by Dr. Richard Ferris, who's the Chief Growth and Strategy Officer at Panther Rare. Richard, thank you so much for your time and your willingness to share some of your expertise and knowledge with our audience. So if you would you give us a bit of a background of how you came to be in the role you're at with Panther and kind of, you know, your career path, if you will?
Yeah, thanks, John. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
Great.
Yeah, I'm a pharmacist by training, obviously. So kind of been in this industry now for over three decades. It's hard to believe, but I've been able to touch a lot of different areas. I also do have a PhD in the pharmacoeconomics, health outcomes area. So I have done a lot of work there in the past. I started out in health system pharmacy and really progressed in various ways there. Leading a health system pharmacy at a university teaching hospital, as well as I've spent time inside the pharmaceutical industry. I've spent time as a full-time professor at the University of Tennessee, as well as getting into specialty pharmacy a little over 15, actually it's almost 20 years now.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I've been a little bit inside of that industry. And I came here to Panther about 6.5 years ago, and really as a rare disease pharmacy, Panther really was focused on the specialty drugs where they deal with very small patient populations typically and a little bit more complex therapies. And at Panther, we really do focus on either what's called exclusive, where we're the only pharmacy that has access to the drugs to be able to dispense them, or as we've defined, highly limited, which is four or less pharmacies in the network. So really focus then on the patients, the very vulnerable population of the rare disease pharmacy.
Wow. Yeah, that really, when you get into it, it's you find out there's so many different disease states that and therapies that are focused on folks that this is the only way that they've got any hope for a future, right? So it really, the patient is always sitting at the center of everything that you're doing at Panther, right?
Correct. Yeah. And you're right to point out the number of rare diseases. Because while rare diseases have been defined as somewhere under 200,000, we obviously see a lot of them that are 500 patients or less. Yeah. There's 7,000 rare diseases.
Oh my gosh.
Probably. Yeah, 93% of them do not have an FDA-approved treatment. So there's a huge unmet need in there. And so even though these populations can be small, there's a big unmet need. But if you added all the 7,000 populations up, the estimate is that it would equal the number of people who have diabetes in the U.S. So it's not small.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Unfortunately, that's a huge number, right, and growing, which is, I'm sure, the case in the rare disease side of it. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. That's something that's given me pause to think about, because you know there's so many disease states out there, but with what, 93% without any type of therapy? Wow. So there's a huge opportunity out there to help more and more patients, right? And as you said, it's, you know, unfortunately probably growing, maybe not as highly or quickly as the diabetic population, but there's still a pretty large growth in those populations over time, I bet. So, well, with that background and obviously, you know, with your background as a pharmacist and as a professor, you know, what's one thing that we're doing now currently and the practice that you'd like to see us stop to kind of move pharmacy forward?
Yeah, I'll tell you, the stop part of me in the world of pharmacy, and it really is a broader healthcare issue, is we really have to, I think, stop racing to the bottom in terms of focusing on lowest cost, and particularly lowest unit cost.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you know, with pharmacy, we're typically reimbursed based on the cost of the product and not necessarily always reimbursed for the services that we provide. And as you talk about being patient-centric, in some way, shape, or form, we need to be reimbursed for the very valuable services that pharmacists and pharmacies provide to these patients. And we need to be thinking about them and their entire care. I think we need to stop that. You know, I mean, I understand why we're focused on cost in some places. But as we look across pharmacy, we know a lot of, especially the corner drugstores, the independent pharmacies, and even some of the bigger chains are really struggling these days. There's an alarming trend in the reimbursement. So it just focuses on dispense more, not cost.
Right. Yeah. And that's a great point. I think as you start to think about everything that we do in pharmacy to help patients, you know, it isn't just getting that medication in the patient's hands, which obviously is core to what we do, but really being able to kind of separate the care from the cost, right, if you will. So that's a great point. So I'm glad you brought that up. Knowing that there's that aspect of it, what's something we should start doing more to help us become more, you know, kind of proactive and better the practice of pharmacy across all the industries?
Yeah, and I love the practice of pharmacy, as I said earlier, I've been a professor, I've trained a lot of pharmacists. My wife is a pharmacist.
Cool.
But I always think as pharmacists too, sometimes we have to take off that white lab coat and we need to start thinking about patients as people. It's really easy to use that word patient, and it sort of puts them in a box. But really thinking about them outside of even how they use medications. Because if we think about why they would take medications, and it gets to the adherence side of things, that people take medications not for the therapeutic objective that we've all been trained on, and that physicians prescribe it for a specific therapeutic objective, but rather start to understand that person on the other end, they have hopes and aspirations. They have moments in life that they want to experience. And how do we tie the medication taking behavior with them experiencing those moments in life that are most important to them? So I think starting to think about them and putting ourselves on the other end and maybe not having that white lab coat on and always want to talk about the clinical stuff and trying to understand what that person is going through, because they're active participants in the care process.
Right.
Really need to partner with them more, as opposed to thinking that, well, I've got information that I'll share with you, and then it's up to you to take my clinical information I've just given to you and apply it to your life, because that doesn't really work. And we know we've got a huge adherence problem. So I think stop using the word patient, start using the word person.
Yeah, I love that aspect of it, because it does think about, you know, the whole person and, you know, their mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, you know, people, right, that have loved ones and friends and things they want to aspire to. And it does make a mindset change, and really, I think we get caught up and we're so good at the clinical aspect of it. We want to make sure that people understand what they're doing. Maybe we need to use more tools that help drive education for people, you know, so they understand why they're taking these meds. And frankly, that helps us understand why they're taking these medications too, to your point of not just why, but also the who, right? So, and then there's so much pressure on pharmacies to process, you know, as many scripts as possible per hour, and you know, that's the whole thing of you've got to get your metrics down. You talked about stopping the unit cost, right? So maybe we stop using the metric of scripts per hour, right? But it's the tough thing is these are easy to do, right? Easy to measure, rather than, you know, the kind of the qualitative aspects, which is what you're talking about with that, you know, kind of thinking of them as people. So, you know, being able to provide tools, you know, like medical memory is a great tool that helps people understand why they're taking their medication, excuse me, they educate them on the medication. And then I think that would help the pharmacist, you know, kind of focus on the people, right? So I'll send all the information, clinical and everything else, but let's talk about why you're on this and how's it going to impact your lifestyle? So I love that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You know, so with the background, and you touched on this earlier too, with so many, every day there's a headline of something, PBMs or, you know, pharmacies closing and independents, you know, shrinking and, you know, reimbursements are going away. So what's something right now that we're doing that you think we need to continue to do to push practice forward?
Yeah. And the beautiful part about pharmacy is we really are at the intersection of kind of that other side where the physicians, health systems, IDNs, and then a person being in the home and caring for themselves.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I think we have to continue to work to reduce barriers, improve access. Affordability is certainly an issue, but then, as you just mentioned too, the understanding of the medications that people so desperately need.
Where right.
The healthcare system is so complicated and so chaotic and so fragmented.
Yeah.
And as pharmacists, I think we've always, you know, really prided ourselves on kind of being that neighborhood person, that neighborhood healthcare provider. And mm-hmm. I love that part of pharmacy, so let's continue to do it.
Absolutely.
Continue to serve those people that are most vulnerable in our society and trying to help them, because the barriers are what the issues are, and we all deal with it, whether it's insurance and prior mm-hmm. authorizations and things like that. How do we shield that, you know, that person from some of those barriers, and really we're seen more as a partner with them, not another barrier in the system?
That's a great point, right? And that is the, you know, you think about, you know, you see the pharmacy more often than anybody else, typically in the healthcare community, right? And so, mm-hmm. you know, we want to be that person that's helping the people that are coming to our pharmacy to find out. I mean, I know that's always my first call whenever there's a medication. I call, you know, I'm lucky enough to know lots of pharmacists that are great people and always willing to help. I ask their opinion, and to your point about, let's start thinking about how this impacts lifestyle for people. And so that's really the goal of when I talk to my pharmacist friends of, how's this going to impact my life? Or, you know, if my kids are on some new medication, that's even more important, if, you know, because, you know, I feel like I've made my choices in my life, right? And so, but I want to make sure that my kids are getting the best care that they can get. So I really appreciate the time. Anything else that you want to add in that maybe, you know, that to kind of help the pharmacy, you know, with your background and your knowledge, it's great to share your insights with our audience. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate the time here too, John. It's been great to talk with you and go through these. I'm such a huge proponent of what pharmacy can do and really helping people to live better lives. Let's just keep doing it.
Absolutely. You're a great advocate for the practice, and we appreciate the time, Richard, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.